John the Baptist today, it's a big reminder to us, isn't it, that in the church's year at least, this isn't nearly Christmas at all. We're possibly not even yet expected to remember that Mary and Joseph might be on their way yet, or that the wise men might have set out with their star. No, not in the church's calendar, it's still Advent. The time of preparation, not just for cards and gifts and too much to do in too little time. Because suddenly, in the gospel reading, Luke transports us, 30 years on from the stories, from the nativity stories, to a wild place in the desert of Judea, part of a crowd of many, many people urgently gathered around this prophet, John, anxious to be baptized and searching for what? Clues as to how their lives might be transformed, worries about how they might be washed clean from whatever they had on their hearts or their consciences, the things that disturbed them in the small hours of the morning. Were they ready for something coming? They knew not what, but they could still feel that surge of expectation. What was John going to say to them? A fairly unnerving message of putting aside all that was important to them to make a new start, whatever that might entail. Because after all, it's not as if, for some of them at least, their lives weren't hard enough already in a land under occupation, at the mercy of the elements to produce their food. There were taxes to pay, families to support, soldiers to avoid. And here's John asking and demanding more of them. I'm guessing most of those listening thought, I'm doing my best already. What does he expect of me, did they mutter to their neighbour, or did they shift uneasily where they stood? How am I to give more to strangers without affecting the lives of those I love, those I am expected to care for, or even for the slightly better off among them, but I have a position to support, expectations to satisfy. What am I expected to do? And I guess we can feel for all of them. After all, it's only a very occasional day, isn't it, when the post arrives on our doorsteps without more requests for help from yet more charities, each one spelling out the awful situations of people at home or away. Where do we start? If we were to give away everything we had, that would be a drop in the ocean, wouldn't it, compared with the hugeness of the need? And then who would look after us? They're big questions, aren't they? Big concerns. Yet, I'm hoping that John's words to the crowds that day encourage them to hope, not to despair, to look again at the possibilities of a different way of being. Is he saying, don't worry, just be generous, treat each person or situation with fresh eyes. Change your whole way of being in that way. Do whatever you have to do in your daily life with a new spirit of honesty, love and respect for all those around you. Because that way you will bound to be even more open to the injustices, the evil that isn't too big a word for it, surrounding us too in everyday life, isn't it? Because when you think, if everyone of that crowd, the farmers, the artisans, the tax collectors, the soldiers even, they began to look at life just with that spirit of thankfulness, generosity and fellowship, might that begin to change the world just a bit? And then, of course, John's message to them became even more urgent. You haven't heard anything yet. I am just the forerunner, he says to them, and he says over the years to us. Another is coming, so much greater than I that it's hard for you to imagine, who will show up the evil that is in the world, in people's hearts and throughout society. An evil that comes through greed, through a sense of entitlement, through failure to care about the very existence of fellow human beings, living creatures, or the planet on which we live. So as this Christmas approaches, it's maybe time for us, as I guess some of us do maybe every year, to look around us, to pray harder for God's wonderful creation, to look clear-sightedly at the injustices and yet, yes, the evil that does surround us. And sometimes we maybe are called to make hard choices which involve speaking out in ways that may seem to make us to other people a bit odd or unpopular even. After all, those early Christians that Paul was writing to in Philippi, they faced far worse than unpopularity. And yet, knowing the challenges that faced them, Paul was still able to exhort them to rejoice, as we've just sung. And let's listen in the quietness of this place to those words again, so that they can enter again into our hearts and into our souls. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And that last wonderful line, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. An unlikely message to hear. It's hard, isn't it, not to worry, to be peaceful in the difficulties, the uncertainty, the fear even, which seems to be surrounding us yet again in our everyday life. We thought it would be no masks, and here we are with masks again. Yet that's Paul's message to us in the uncertainty, and yes, that fear that we may find ourselves in now. Maybe the very fear or uncertainty will open our eyes and hearts even more to those people and situations which are so much more difficult even than ours. As we thank God for the coming of Jesus into our lives afresh, we pray for strength to welcome him, a light in our darkness, and strength too to work for justice, for generosity, for a world where the good news of Christ's coming may begin to be made real through our lives, our prayers, and our actions. Because at the end of the day, that is what Luke tells us that John was saying. And Jesus will come through all the difficulties of our lives, and that is good news indeed. Good news today, and good news for those around us.